Praise the name of Jesus forever. We can be turning to Acts 3. We're going to be all over the place today. Again, we're in a change of seasons again. I don't normally get up and say much about previous messages, but calling in the lost message last Sunday night is called the final offering. And it's only about 48 minutes long, the teaching portion. I really recommend you get that one. That little short teaching is like a college course. He packed so much revelation in that. It was. I'll tell you how it is when one of those is coming through you. I'm hearing it when you're hearing it, and I'm going, I know I am not that smart. There is somebody else here. But it was packed, and it has everything to do with where we're going. Then Wednesday night, the title we put on that one, Holiness Does Not Earn Miracles. Yet, I'm going to tell you this. I haven't done this one yet, but we could put a title, Holiness is Your Best Friend. Because once we break into revival, and the enemy is going to come sniffing around you like he came sniffing around Jesus. Remember he said the prince of this. This is right before the cross, right before he accomplished what really he was sent here to do. Right before that, he said, the prince of this world's coming. Well, what was the prince of this world coming for? He says, he has nothing in me. That lets you know what he was coming. The prince of this world was coming. Seeing one last time, is there any handle on Jesus? Any way I can get a hold of him to turn him away? If Jesus didn't escape that kind of inspection, do you think you're going to escape it? Holiness is your best friend. Now, these messages this whole year, and we're almost to the midpoint of the year, the Lord has been lovingly and consistently, can I say hammering, concerning the flesh, because he's been relentless, hasn't he? And I'll be honest with you, I mean, Nathan and I have talked, he's not, and by the way, I think Nathan's still in Mexico today, is that right? Yeah, he's probably having a good time because he probably there is getting to preach on something other than the flesh, you know. Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. You know, but he loves us too. And that's why he's been hammering on the flesh. Because we've tried. I mean, I get tired of it myself. But I'm going to preach something else, Lord. And get up here and you'd be in total rebellion if I preach something else. So he's been preparing us this whole year. But now I can tell by the messages that are coming forward. We're in a pattern of transition, a shifting. I saw while we were in worship there just a few minutes ago. I don't know if he wants me to prophesy. I don't really think so. But I saw a vision, just one of those little short visions. But when you've been at this a long time, you've learned to locate that place in you where they come from. And I saw a sword falling right down the middle of America. I just saw a giant sword. Whop! And then I heard, choose this day. Choose this day. That's what we're coming to in this nation. And even those that name the name of Jesus, many are going to be on the wrong side of that sword. There's going to be those that hold to his word, hold to what he said, hold to the true gospel no matter what. And of course, we know we expect persecution from the world. You know, he said, don't be surprised. If the world hated me, it's going to hate you. But he also said, no, those of his own house. Don't think I came to bring peace, but a sword. You remember that? Those that name the name of Jesus are going to become some of your worst persecutors. And I saw it. I saw that sword fall. And it's like now. So it's no wonder he's been preparing us. So yes. Yes, sir. I'll say this too. Now, it's been for me as well as you. I hate to tell you this, but I'm not perfect. Now, don't everybody leave. Now, you knew that already. But even during this 6 months, there's been things with me that's had to... I told you about a few of the idols. Remember? Y'all do remember. Football on Saturday. Too much news. Gary, was there any others? Open up to Acts chapter 3. But he's warning me. He's warning me. This is not a game. He is, I started to say deadly serious. He is lifely serious about this. And you better deal with the flesh. Yeah. And talking to me as much as anybody else. Okay? Better deal with it. Because the enemy, whatever he can find, he's going to use that to destroy you. Because believe it or not, we are going into revival. Whether you believe it or don't believe it, we're going anyway. And if you're going with us, he's going to come sniffing around looking for handles. Say it with me. The prince of this world comes. But I say by faith. He has nothing in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, even if that's not so, call those things that be not as though they were until they are. That's who you are, really. That spirit man on the inside of you doesn't have any handles. That was worth the price of admission right there. The truth is, the real you doesn't have any handles. It's made in the image of Christ. All those handles are in the soul or the appetites of the body. And you can deal with them. If you don't believe that, get Nathan 101. No, I'm kidding. All those messages he's been teaching, it's truth. It is the truth. We've been set free from sin. It didn't start with Nathan. It started with Dave. Nathan and I both are just teaching what Dave has taught some of these things 20 years ago. But Dave says it in more love than we do. And you walk out going, he didn't say anything. Yeah, he did. Listen to that again. You know, might take you a while to realize, ooh, Dave thinks I should walk holy. Dave thinks I don't have to sin. Well, Dave thinks it because Jesus thinks it. Hallelujah. Well, it's getting quieter and quieter. We better get into the Word here. Go to Acts chapter 3. Now, this is where we were Wednesday night, talking about holiness does not earn you miracles. And I don't have time to teach that again. But at the same time, holiness is going to be your best friend. We do need to walk holy. Otherwise, we're giving the enemy an easy shot. I found out that rascal is bad enough. I don't want to give him any easy shots, you know. So, Peter, you know the story. I'm not going to read it all again, but I want to say it again. If you did not hear Sunday night the final offering, and if you did not hear holiness does not earn miracles, please, please listen to those. And if you need to, listen to them more than once. You've got to understand this. Okay, that's enough of that. So we were talking Wednesday night about Peter and this one of the first miracles after the day of Pentecost. And how, we'll just read part of it here. So Acts chapter 3 says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, now notice, lame from his mother's womb. Now this is not just a headache. This is not an upset tummy. He doesn't need a Tums or a Rolaids. If you write in your Bible, write in the margin, birth defect. This is a serious case. How many of you knows birth defects are no problems for our Jesus? Birth defects are no problem for our Father. Okay, I don't care what the doctors say. God bless the doctors, but they're limited. Our God is not limited. So a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, and to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. And you know this story. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he was begging. He was asking for alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Boy, now here it is. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Can you imagine what this guy's legs had to look like? He's never walked in 40 years. Never walked. Little shriveled up legs. No muscle tone. Never walked. Yet instantly he received strength to not only rise up, but to jump. And he looked, And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. You wait till ABC, NBC, CBS, and the Fox News Network. Yes, I do leave out CNN. That's enough of that. I have my reasons. You wait till they're here and they bring in birth defect people that's never walked, impossible cases, medical science. How about bringing in the lamed? We could go to one of his meetings where the maimed were made whole. And all around the world on those networks now, they just watch the legs grow out while they're watching. And if you're in India or Pakistan or Africa or Brazil or anywhere, and you've got a crippled child, you got a child missing a leg, and you watch as they pray in the name of Jesus, you're going to want to know more about that Jesus. Amen? That's called revival. That's called revival, and that's where we're going. This is the year of power, by the way. So all the people saw him and walking and praising God, and they knew it was he that set it for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us?" Now notice, "as though by our own power or holiness." I want to say it this way. By our own power or our own holiness, we had made this man to walk. And he starts talking about the God of their fathers, but come on down to verse 16. And his name, talking about Jesus, his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And we could go on. Now, we had a lot more detail Wednesday night. We gave almost the whole service to this passage and all that it meant and what Peter really meant when he said, "Why look on us as by our own holiness, our own power?" What was in his mind and what was in the mind of the people. Get that message and listen to it. But now tonight, and right on the other hand, let me just plant a bug in your ear. Those of you that study the Word and study history, now, not talking about Judas before the resurrection, but talking about all of the apostles after the resurrection, after they got born again. You check it out yourself. Neither Scripture nor history ever records one of them falling to any sin of the flesh. There's no record one of them ever ran off with the secretary. Not one record one of them ever fell to alcoholism or any kind of drugs. They didn't earn miracles by holiness, but they lived holy. And they accomplished what the Master had his plan for their lives right up to the end. And all of them, even unto death, all of them were martyred except John. They tried to martyr John. They just couldn't. History says they boiled him in oil. And so I think they did some other things, but they couldn't kill the man. Holiness was their best friend. Okay. Now notice, what did Peter say was the key? Is it holiness? Although holiness is wonderful. We need holiness. Let me say it this way. They lived holy lives because they loved God. Let's say it another way. We live holy because our Father is holy. And that's who we are. Ephesians 4 tells you that when you were born again, that new man on the inside of you was created after God. That means in his image. In righteousness and true holiness. Okay. But he's shifting now. We've had 6 months of that. We're shifting now. I want you to notice what's coming now. Watch this. All right. Now, I got to set a little bit of a foundation for where we're going. So turn over to Philippians chapter 2 and put a marker in Ephesians chapter 1. We're just going to look at two verses to get your thinking going down this path. If you've been here in recent years, you've heard all of these messages from Ephesians and these new covenant truths that we've been teaching here. How we've been quickened together with Him, raised up together with Him, seated together in Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen? But let's review just for a moment. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Because Peter says it is that name through faith in that name. He also said, what I have, I give you. Notice he didn't say, I have power. He didn't say that. He said, why look on us like by our own power? He didn't say, such as I have, I give you my holiness. No. He says, but I do have something. Such as I have, I give you. Well, what did Peter have? He had the name of Jesus. Dear heart, so do you. But it's not just having the name is not enough. It's faith in that name. That name through faith in that name. Now that's how the miracles are accomplished. Well, first off, let's look at that name. Philippians 2:9. That's why we're going there. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, talking of Jesus, and given him a name which is above a few names. It is above every name. Every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Amen? Every name. That name is above every name. I don't care what it is. If it has a name, Jesus, His name is above it. And you have that name. Now watch this. Go to Ephesians 1 now. Where is Jesus seated, by the way? Isn't He seated at the right hand of God? What did Stephen say when they're about to stone him? They're stoning the man. He says, I see the heavens opened. And I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Jesus is normally sitting there. But the love that Stephen was operating in. The love, because Jesus was waiting to see if he was going to pray the same prayer. And Stephen did. Forgive them. They know not what they do. Ephesians 1, verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So where is Jesus seated? The only reason I look at that verse, where is Jesus seated? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. All right. Now go over to Luke 9. Luke chapter 9. I'm going to need three chairs, please. That's perfect. Hallelujah. So Luke chapter 9. I'm trying to get his... Yes, sir. We'll do it. Okay. Peter had something. The name. He said, I have that name. Such as I have, give I thee. That name, through faith in that name, is what made the man whole. All right? Jesus has been highly exalted and given the name that is above every name. Amen? And Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. You got that? Okay, now watch this. Luke 9, starting verse 46. We may do this whole chapter. Somebody lock the doors. And actually, we're going to have to go to Mark 9 to get all of this. Because I thank God for Dave teaching us assimilation. You'll never get some of these things without assimilating the books. The way the Holy Spirit had it written, spoken through these men, you got to have all of them to get the whole picture. All right, so Luke 9:46. Then there arose a reasoning among them, and this is talking about the 12, which of them should be the greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, he took a child. Now notice, and set him by him. Set him by him. And said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child, notice, in my name, receiveth me. Whosoever shall receive me, receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. All right? Let's stop right there for a moment. Now, hold your place there because we're coming back to Luke, but go over to Mark 9 just for a moment. Same incident, but we get a little bit more out of Mark 9. Okay, verse 33. He came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way?" And they held their peace. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and he called the 12 and he said unto them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." Now this time, looky here. He took a child and set him in the midst of them. Now in Luke's account, it says he set him beside him. Okay. And when he had taken him in his arms, that's in there for a reason. You'll see why. He said unto them, "Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me." Amen? All right. Now, I'll do my best to describe what I'm doing here for those that only have audio. We've got three chairs set right down in front of the altar here. I don't have signs this time. This first chair, this represents the throne of God. This is where the Father sits. Where is Jesus seated? Jesus is seated on the right hand of God. All right? Now, he took a little child. I need a little boy. Severe? Come here. Perfect. So, Jesus takes... Well, he's not such a little child. This is really a kind of a young man here, but you'll do. Okay. Compared to me, you're a little child. Okay. So Jesus, what he's doing here is a visual demonstration of what is to come. See, they don't know yet. You do know Ephesians hadn't been written yet, right? But how many of you know Jesus understands everything? So he knows that the day's coming when they're going to be quickened together with him, raised up together with him, seated together in him, in Christ. He knows that day's coming. Well, they're wondering, well, which one of us 12, as mighty apostles, which one of us are going to be the greatest? And he's really going to teach them a visual demonstration. So he's seated, he takes this child, and at first he seats him. Notice it says, by him. And he says, "Now, if I was to send him, this little child, in my name, anyone that would receive him, really, because I sent him, and he's coming in my name, it's really not him they're receiving. They're really receiving me. And really, they're not really just receiving me. They're receiving him who sent me." Now, for benefit of those that can't see, let me say it again. We've got three chairs. One of them is empty, representing God the Father. I'm sitting... Hey, when you get to teach, you get to be Jesus, you know. So I'm sitting here and I'm representing Jesus in this chair. And I've set this young, beautiful young man, handsome young man next to me named Saphir. And they're asking, which one is the greatest? Now, Jesus knows what is coming. He knows the day is going to come when each one of them are going to be born again like a little child. They're going to be quickened together with him, raised up together with him. And seated together. Now, if you really notice closely in Ephesians, it doesn't say seated together with him. He did it that way to start, because that's the way we usually understand it. But if you really check it in Ephesians, it says we are seated together in him. So he takes this child. How else could Jesus demonstrate it? And got him in his arms as close as he could. And he goes, "Really, each and every one of you, you're not going to just be with me in the kingdom. As far as I'm concerned, you're in me. In the kingdom. And that's why when I send you forth in my name, you're not rejecting or accepting Saphir. You're rejecting or accepting me. And if you receive me, then you receive my Father who sent me." Chad, good stuff. Thank you. You can put those back. Isn't that good stuff? See, Jesus liked visual demonstrations too. He liked, they help, don't they? They help. Now, let's do a little progression of Luke chapter 9. It's amazing what's really in this whole chapter. Go back to verse 1 of Luke chapter 9. Then he called his 12 disciples together and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Normally you'll find one, you know, there's two Greek words normally translated power. Normally in most verses there's only one of them. This is a rare case where you find both words. The first one here is dunamis. It is where we get our word dynamite. It means absolute raw power. In the kingdom of God, if you want to know the truth, it means the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The molecule changer himself. When you speak, he acts. Whew. God says, light be, light was. Well, we know who spoke it. Who's that? That's the word, right? Who was it hovering over the face of the deep? That was the Holy Ghost. Those two worked together. The Word and the Holy Spirit worked together always. The Holy Spirit was there before that Word was spoken, but He wasn't doing nothing. He had the power to make light any time, but He's waiting on something. What's He waiting on? More than the Word, He's waiting on the spoken Word. That Bible of yours is full of power, but it has no power lying on your coffee table at home. For years, I misquoted that verse in the Old Testament. It says the angels hearken to His word. For years, I quoted it that way. And that's wrong. It's not what it says. It says the angels hearken to the voice of His word. Now, it's already His word. Somebody has to give voice. Hold your place. Take your Bible. Hold it up by your ear. Listen. Do you hear any voice? The angels don't hearken to it in that form. Hallelujah. It's when you speak it in faith and the angels go, what was that? I've been hanging around this person 30 years and they never spoke the word. I've been trying to get them to go calling in the lost and learn how to call those things that be not as though they were. Jesus told them to talk to their mountain and all they want to do is tell other people about their mountain. They don't ever speak His word. Angels go, what? I got to go to work now. But let's get this. This is one of those few cases. The first one there is dunamis. And the second one is where it says authority. That's right. It's exousia. It's a rare case. He's like, with this verse, it's like he's covering all the bases. You have not only authority, I give you power. I give you power. Not only all over the devils, but notice, and to cure diseases. But see, Peter says, why? Now don't get it confused, Peter says. It's not my own power. I haven't come in the name of Peter. I've come in the name of Jesus. And in His name I have power. So he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread nor neither money, neither have two coats apiece, and whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. Now, this is Luke's account. We could go to the other writers, and they give a little more detail. I didn't print them off this time, but you know they're in there. He would say, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils, raise the dead. And then, if they will not receive you, shake off the dust of your feet. Now, you notice that word receive in that verse? Verse 5. Whosoever will not, you see it? Whosoever will not receive you. If you want to know the truth, that's Strong's number 1209. And it just means receive. It means, but the point is, come down to the end of this where we were a while ago, this same chapter, verse 48. Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. And both times it's the same Greek word. You know what he's really telling them? They're asking, who's the greatest in the kingdom? And he's going, you already are. When you go forth in my name to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, do the Father's will, if they receive you, they receive me. If they receive me, they're receiving the Father who sent me. The greatest in the kingdom is the one who serves in the kingdom. You have to become, if you want to be first, you got to become last. If you want to be great, you got to become the servant. And really, the word is slave. But it's a slave of your own choosing. See? He says, whoever will receive. It's the same thing. Okay. But now watch this chapter. This chapter is amazing. So first off, he gives them power and authority over all devils and over all sickness. Then he sends them out and they go and do it. If you read the other accounts, they went. They had a successful ministry. And there's so many things here, but I want to get to this. Well, there's our verse. Can't pass up 9:23 since we're right here, right? He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, 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 and follow me. And whosoever will save his life will lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever, now this is the sword I saw. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. So this chapter starts off now with him giving power and authority to the 12 over devils, all devils and sickness. They've got it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. Then, if that's not, they go on, this is the chapter where they go up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Notice in verse 28. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James, and they went up into the mountain and prayed. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah. How would y'all like to have been on that mountain? Huh? Man, I would like to have been on that mountain. And just to be able to hear the conversations. Now, we've taught on what was really going on there before. That the law and the prophets, that represents Moses and Elijah. They represent the law and the prophets. They all testify of the coming Christ. Okay? And there appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Man, what an experience. First, he gives you power and authority over all devils and the power to cure diseases. Then you wind up going up on the mountaintop and you actually see his glory whiter, brighter than the sun. You see Moses and Elijah talking with him. It's amazing stuff. They come down off the mountain and the nine who didn't go, they've had a little difficulty. They come down off the mountain here. Now, look at verse 37. It came to pass that on the next day when they were come down from the hill, mountain, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son. He's my only child. And lo, a spirit takes him. And suddenly he cries out and it tears him and he foams again. That means foaming at the mouth, bruising him. It hardly departs from him. In other words, he's like this a lot. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out and they could not. Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Does that sound like he's happy? Jesus is love. Love is not always happy. I didn't get any amens, hardly none right there. You love your children? You always happy with them, are you? No. You never stop loving them, though. Hey. Faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? One of the other writers of the Gospels, really the way what Jesus is saying here, how long am I going to be here to do this for you? How long am I going to have to do this for you? Didn't it just say back here in verse 1 of this chapter, he gave them dunamis and exousia. He covered the bases. I give you power and authority over all. How many? Go back and look at it in your Bible. Then he called his 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority over a few devils. All devils. All. That's how many you've been given authority and power over, by the way. Previews to the end of this lesson. All of them. Now, some of them you may have to pray and fast, because some of them, they bring bad manifestations. But we're going to get like Dave, you know, where that guy's going to kill him. You know, remember that? This demon-possessed guy who doesn't even speak English. Remember that? Dave hears perfect English from behind him. I'm going to kill you. And there was another one, you know, where the guy comes, he's going to hit Dave in the stomach. And he... he's... By the time he gets there, it's like nothing. And Dave's attitude in the whole time was, I got to get out of here, I'm afraid. No, it's like, oh, you're going to kill me? Yawn, yawn, yawn. Come out in Jesus' name. And humana, humana, humana. He could feel the guy breathing on the back of his neck. Dave's, and furthermore, and hitherto, and henceforth, in a fortnight. And finally, the devil just comes out. That's the way we got to be. We've got to. It's not just the name, people. It's that name through faith in that name. But I'm telling you, I don't care what those devils do. And that sometimes it may take prayer and fasting to get us to the place where we believe it. Because Jesus plainly said, they said, well, why couldn't we cast it out? He said, it's your unbelief. Because he already gave them authority over all devils, all of them, including that one. It's only their unbelief. Well, how do I deal with that? Fasting and prayer. Don't you wish we had a pastor that would teach that? That's what makes big churches teach a lot on prayer and fasting. No? Well, eventually there'll be a big one. You'll be begging for a seat. Won't have time anyway. You'd be too busy opening blind eyes. Praise God for that. So this starts off with him giving them authority and power over all devils. But then right in the middle of it, there's the Mount of Transfiguration. My goodness, of course, those nine didn't get to go up there. But it doesn't change the fact that Jesus gave them power and authority over all devils. And he comes down, and this little devil has whooped their selves. Whooped them. They got their spiritual britches beat off. They got beat up by this devil. Jesus is not happy. He is not happy about this. He has to do it for them, and you know the story. Now, what's amazing to me, after this event, they're on their way. They've left this colossal failure. Jesus had to do it for them again. And wherever they're going, you know what their discussion was after that colossal failure? Which one of us is going to be the greatest? What? You just failed. He had to come do it for you again. And your mindset, you are so self-centered. I'm going to be greater than you in the kingdom. What? Good thing he loves us. That's what they're talking about. After just leaving this horrible failure. Now we're going to read it again, what I started this off with. Look at verse 46. Now, with all that as a context, there arose a reasoning among them which of them should be the greatest, which is amazing to me right after that failure. Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, he took a child and set him by him. And he said unto them, and we went through that demonstration. Jesus did the visual demonstration. Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receives me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. Now John, hearing and seeing this visual demonstration, it reminds him of something that he's seen. Now notice he says, John answered and said, Master, because he's thinking the least will be the greatest. And it reminded him, you know, he says, you know, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, but we forbade him because he follows not with us. Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. See, when Jesus answered with that little child normally has no status. You don't call him king child normally. You know, they don't. Little children don't normally run corporations or giant ministries or anything like that. He says, no, but this little child, and he held him in his arms, knowing that the day's coming, he's going to be in me. This little child, if he'll go forth in my name, he is the greatest in the kingdom. He said, you guys have already been doing this. When I sent you out before, you're the greatest in the kingdom if you deliver in my name. That's what it's all about. But that got John thinking, because obviously, can you tell there's a little pride in the group yet? And they're going, you know, we saw a guy who's not really part of our group. You know, and he was actually casting out devils in your name. But because he wasn't one of us, we made him stop. Now, again, Mark gives us a little more insight. Let's go back to Mark 9 again. Let's look at the same story over there. This is why assimilation, guys, is so important. Our pastor is so right. You need to learn to assimilate the books. You need all of them. Let's pick it up in verse 35. It says, he sat down, Jesus, he called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever, boy, if you underline, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name, receiveth me. Whosoever receives me, receives not me, but him that sent me. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us, and we forbade him, because he followed not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not. No, now this is so good. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. He that is not against us is on our part. Now, John said, we saw him casting out devils. Jesus said, that's a miracle. You know why? Human beings can't cast out devils in their own strength. The Holy Spirit has to be co-laboring with you, or that devil is not coming out. The best humans can do is put them on drugs and take them to psychiatrists to talk about their mother or their daddy or whatever, you know. Poor little, basically it's poor little you time. But it's a miracle when a devil is cast out, because that meant the Holy Spirit co-labored with you. Now think about this. Do you think it's astonishing that we're not told the name of that guy? To me, it is astonishing. Here is a guy who was literally casting out devils in Jesus' name, and there's no record of it. We don't know who the guy is. We don't know his pedigree. We don't know anything about it. I heard one commentator one time say, oh, it had to be one of the 70. Come right on down. Oh, see, you're in Mark and not Luke. If we were still over in Luke, if you come right down to the next chapter, chapter 10, you don't have to turn there. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. So this occurred before the 70. This is before the 70. We have no record that Jesus ever said to this man directly, I give you authority and power. That's not in there by accident. You know what this is called? It's called the Nobody Knows Your Name Ministry. It's called Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper Ministry. It's if you have faith in the name of Jesus, then you have that name. And the Holy Ghost will back you up. Richard this morning said it's time for boldness. Time for boldness. Step forth. And that's exactly what it's time for. This is the year of power. That is not in there for no reason. This man had faith that the name of Jesus was above every name. Now look at it very closely. Verse 38. John answered him saying, Master, we saw one, not attempting, it doesn't say attempting or trying or hoping or wishing. No, he said he was casting them out. He was casting out devils in thy name. He follows not us. He's not one of our little group. So we forbid him because he followed not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not. There is no man which shall do a miracle in my name. The title of this message today is Do Miracles in His Name. You have been assigned. You have been authorized. Jesus, when he was, his last words to his followers as he was ascending, about to ascend up into heaven, he says, you go forth, you make disciples of all nations, teaching them all of the things that I taught you. Well, part of that is I have given you authority and power over devils and sickness in my name. That's why in Mark 16 it says, those that believe in my name, those apostles that believe, is that what he said? Those pastors that believe, those evangelists, those teachers? No, just those that believe in my name, they will cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick and a few will recover. No, they will recover. See, it's time to... There's a sword falling. And it's time. Choose this day what you believe. Choose this day who you're going to serve. Choose this day if you're going to follow Him and really follow Him. Choose this day your flesh going on the cross so your spirit can follow Him. Choose this day. We're at that time now. It is the year of power. The time of hiddenness. Remember that prophecy? Time of hiddenness has come to an end. Even in our nation, there are coming quickly now. It's all, you've seen it coming and it's going to come quicker. The nation is running as fast as it can practically away from God. I pray and I hope that does not continue, but that's the way it is right now. We're not going to go with them. We're not going to go with them. We're going to step on the Jesus side of that division. And we're going to hold fast to His Word. Now, it's time for you to put your name in verse 38 of Mark 9 and Luke 9. You are a whosoever. Let it be said all around Tulsa, we saw that person. Not only, yes sir, not just Tulsa. Everywhere on earth, that's a part of this. Everywhere on earth. Yeah, we saw that no-name person. They were literally casting out devils in Jesus' name. And it was a miracle because the devil actually came out. Now, Holy Spirit, He has to be involved for that. So I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, I've given many hours to meditating this. Verse 38, I'm going to read it again just to make sure you've got it in your brain. John answered him saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name. Boy, I have meditated that. How did the guy even know? He had to be there when Jesus would preach. He had to have listened to the messages. Somehow he heard the words of the Master. And something on the inside of him, even though we don't have any record that Jesus ever called him out, personally identified him or anything, said, "Yes, stretch forth thy hands, and I'm putting my fingers in the palms." I'm not against any of that. There's no record of any of that. This man heard and believed. And he says, "I believe that that man right there is the Son of God. I believe his name is above every name. And I believe if I use that name..." Now get this, the Holy Spirit, I don't know how much the guy understood, but I'm looking at it from my perspective, because I know that no human can cast out a devil. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Even Jesus said, "I cast out devils by the Spirit of God." Another place, by the finger of God. The Holy Spirit is the finger of God. He's the hand of God. So this man, he developed faith from hearing the word. And he decided to act on it. A no-name person that for all of eternity, unless we get to meet him in heaven. But God's word does not record his name, and I know that's for us. That's so we can know. Mary, wallpaper, Joe, public, Mr. Average, Mrs. Average, pew sitter. That if we develop that same faith, we should be going around, "I have something, such as I have." What do you have? I don't just have his name. I have faith in his name. When I pray for you, the Holy Spirit is going to back up my words. Say that with me.
When I pray,
the Holy Spirit is going to back up my words. That's what Jesus said. He is the Spirit of truth. He manifests the truth. And Jesus is the truth. I'm one of those people that when I speak to a mountain, I don't doubt in my heart. But I believe what I say will come to pass. Because the Holy Spirit backs me up. And when I speak in his name, I have what I say. That's who we are. It's time for that boldness. It's time to stand up. It's time to step over the dividing line. It's time to move from the healing side, from the being healed side of the line, to the ministering healing side of the line. Now, if you're sick, get in the line. We're not forbidding. We don't. But what I'm saying is our whole mindset has got to change. We're not the sick going somewhere to be healed. We are health going somewhere to minister healing. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Say it with me. I am health.
I am health.
I'm going somewhere
to minister healing.
Devils are subject to me. When I speak in the name of Jesus. Devils have no choice.
They obey what I say.
I am a devil master.
In the name of Jesus.
When I rebuke sickness.
In his name.
The sickness runs off. Like a scalded dog. I'm from Oklahoma. I love it. We don't have anything else to do but develop that. That's who you are. He's been preparing us and preparing us and preparing us. This is the year of power. And it's time for the hidden ones to come forward. It's time for the no names. It's time for the one. I saw one. I want that to be the testimony all around Tulsa, all around Immokalee, all around Dayton, Ohio, all around Connecticut, everywhere that we, Ocala. I'm thinking of all the pastors who's listening. I'll be in trouble if I don't mention their city. But everywhere, it's time for that. You know, for people at Starbucks or people at lunch or, you know, I saw one. They were casting out devils in the name of Jesus. And those devils were really coming out. You know, I saw one at Walmart lay hands on the sick. And that person stood up out of the wheelchair.
I saw one laying hands on a beggar that's been begging for 20 years on the corner there, can't even walk. And when they prayed in the name of Jesus, that person jumped up and ran off. I saw one. That should be the testimony everywhere. Then when it starts being televised, when it starts being mediaized all around the world, all around the world. People are people. If you've got a blind mama, and you know, I don't care if you're Hindu, Muslim, atheist, agnostic, you got a blind child, a deaf child, a maimed family member, and you see somehow by internet or on TV that Jesus is healing the sick through His people. He's casting out devils through His people. And I don't care what your religion is. If you see that and you're sitting there with a hurt child with needing something, you're going to want to know about this Jesus. That's revival. God's been preparing us all these years, trying to get us to submit and yield to the Holy Ghost enough to where handles can be purged off of us. Because when that really breaks out, and I mean it's time to break out, that's when holiness is going to be your best friend. We have two weeks until the first. That's midpoint of this year. Now, he hasn't said nothing. But there's this knowing on the inside of me. The season is changing. He has... The Holy Spirit said to me one time, it's in the face-to-face documents, one of them. He says, I don't deliver anything but truth. He says, that they reject the truth, I do not have anything else to minister. He says, now, I'm very long-suffering, I will bring that truth again. If they reject it, I'll bring it again. And if they reject it, I'll bring it again. And he just, with the idea he'll just keep on. But he says eventually, though, very often, if they continue to reject the truth, eventually they will believe a lie. What I'm hearing him say is he has delivered this truth. You know, we often call it the message that has come to maturity. He has delivered this truth in sufficient measure. It's time to accept it and act on it, or reject it and step over to the other side of the dividing line. What was Richard's message? Hold on. Hold on. You already made a quality decision. Don't change it now. Hold on. We are coming into revival. I delivered his heart for today. Listen, there is no such thing as a believer that does not have power. Did you hear that? If Mr. No Name, and he's in there for a reason, as No Name is in there for a reason, it's to give everybody the same faith. If you have faith in the name of Jesus, it is that name, and faith through that name, faith in that name, that the miracles happen. The Holy Spirit will back you up. You got that? Father, thank you for the year of power. Thank you for bringing us to this hour. Father, let this be the time. Let the tide change in the church. Let the tide change in this nation. Let the tide change in this world. That Jesus' name cover the earth, and that your glory cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody says, Amen.